Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay. See, we're a little thin today. Maybe a little Super Bowl draw for some. Maybe it's the rain. Maybe like me, some people, I got sick this week, so please bear with me. My voice is a little shaky, but I'm glad to be here and be with you all in the Word of God. So they're missing out today. They're missing out. So anyhow, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your great love for us, that you sent your only begotten Son into this world, that he would give his life, his precious blood, to redeem us unto yourself. Lord, this is a tremendous thought, tremendous consideration. This morning we would consider him as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. I pray that, Lord, for those that know him as such, it would bring about a rich response of worship and thanksgiving and a greater confidence in this one who has died for them. For those who in this room that may not know him as their good shepherd, pray that it would be an awakening to that possibility that they might be his and he would be theirs. So, Lord, we ask for your help for this brief time that we have together, that you would bless it and enable it through your Holy Spirit. We ask this to your glory in the name, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, we're going to be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, from John chapter 10. Have you ever considered Psalm 23, Psalm of David, the Psalm of David, which is short, but one of the most endearing psalms that there is? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It was one of the first pieces of scripture that I memorized out of King James when I first became a Christian. Why is it so endearing? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if you are one of his sheep, then I think that you can agree that we all need a caretaker. We all need someone to look after us. It's a humbling thought, but it's true. We need caretaking. You know, I have two grandchildren. One of them is visiting with us, Zach, today. Okay? They're little ones. They're just exploring the world. They don't know the hazards that are out around and about them. They need constant looking after and tending. See? It doesn't make them less valuable. They're of tremendous value. But all the more reason why their parents and their grandparents give diligence in looking after them, watching them, keeping an eye out for them. I'm not really, you know, up until a year ago, I wasn't really used to that. I haven't had a little child in the house, but now I'm getting very sensitive to, where's Marcy? It's quiet around here. What's going on? Where is she? You know, what's happening? Because there's a need to, look after her. So one of the things is endearing about Psalm 23 is that we have such a shepherd. We have a shepherd to look after us. And that shepherd happens to be the Lord. The Lord, God Almighty, is our shepherd. Now, it is a rather humbling comparison to compare us as these not very intelligent domestic little animals, sheep, right? They're lowly animals, defenseless against wolves, okay? They're not known for intelligence, right? So it's a humbling thing. But if the comparison fits, oh well, then it fits. Isaiah Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. So the comparison is accurate, isn't it? All of us, like sheep. The inference is that foolishly like sheep, unwisely like sheep, we've all gone astray. We've all gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity or the sin of us all to fall on him. Again, a prophecy of the Good Shepherd to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the analogy fits. Psalm 100. This Bible's getting older. It turns slower for some reason. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Again, likens us to sheep, those humble little creatures who need tending, who need defense, who need looking after, who need guidance. Yes, we need that. We need such a shepherd. Humbling though it be, we have not made ourselves. See, we are dependent upon him. But it's also an amazing thought to consider that Almighty God has humbled himself to take on the job of being a shepherd. You know? You don't really hear about people bragging about being a shepherd. You know, I got my PhD and then I became a shepherd. You know? Both my daughter and my daughter-in-law, who, you know, are new mothers, both of them are very capable women, college graduates, very smart, capable people, and yet most of their days they're spending falling around and taking care of a little child. But it's a great opportunity, it's a great privilege, and it's a great responsibility. The Lord gladly takes on this responsibility of caretaking for you and me. God, who made heaven and earth, performs all the duties of a shepherd for our sake. Ezekiel. Notice Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Now he's speaking about his people Israel, and there's more to it, but I want to just point out God performs for his people all the duties of a shepherd. Verse 11. Ezekiel 34:11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Think about that. He says, I'm going to go search them out. You're here today because God Almighty, has taken upon himself to search you out and me out. 12, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among them, his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they are scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. Well, we've had some cloudy and gloomy days, but the sheep are frightened and they tend to scatter. So he's going to go out and he's going to gather them and bring them back together. Notice in verse 15, I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. See? He feeds them. He tends them. He cares for them. He comforts them. Our God does all the work of a shepherd for sheep. Think about that. Maybe it's humbling for us to think of myself as a sheep, but think about God who's humbled himself to be your shepherd. Look after you and care for us. It's amazing to me that God cares about, you know, cares about whatever I care for. Even the little things. Oh, God, I need a parking spot in Santa Monica. Help! Oh, why would you bother God with such a trivial thing? Does not the scripture say casting all our care upon him? Whatever makes us anxious, we should not be anxious. We should pray about it. And if you've got time to be worried, you've got time to pray. Huh? Is that practical? Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Verse 24, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. As I get older, now you're going to say, Gary, get wiser. Well, I hope so, but as I get older, I see all the more need for God to shepherd my life day by day. There is a way that seems right unto a man. The end thereof is a way of death. Seems right to a man. Seems right to the world. We need his guidance. We need his leading. And when I say guidance, is that just like, you know, he uses a little staff. No, not that way, Gary. Get over there. Over there. Over there. We need a little help. You know, guide me in the way that I should go. See, we need him. Now, back to our text today of John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we read about, he gives this teaching. The Lord Jesus is giving to the teaching to the people. Verse 1, yeah, we can go on to that next slide with the script. Yeah, okay, there we go. John 10, 1 through 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So if you could show the picture of the... So this is a picture I found of a sheepfold. It's a very simple structure, you know, usually rectangular in shape, could be round. But basically it's, you know, like stone walls that are maybe about 5 feet high. And then you've got a single entrance. Now, in this case, you see the shepherd, he's actually sitting, or, you know, sometimes they lay down at that entrance and thus become the door, you know, the place of entrance. But it also could have a gate on it, you know, and somebody at the that opens and shuts the gate. What the Lord is describing here in chapter 10, in these first three verses, he's describing kind of a community sheepfold. He's describing a sheepfold that's full of sheep belonging to different owners. So if you go back to that picture, So instead of just a few little sheep, imagine that it's just crowded with sheep, all looking about the same, you know, little creatures. And it's full of them, but they're different, they're ones belonging to different owners, different shepherds, okay? So he's describing how that the shepherd, a shepherd, a legitimate shepherd, would come through the door, wouldn't climb over the wall. Says if somebody's climbing over the wall, they're a thief and a robber. They're there for no good. And what he's saying is he's saying that the shepherd has no reason to climb over the wall because the shepherd has legitimate reason to enter the sheepfold. Okay? He's also referring to the fact that as Messiah, he has come in the legitimate form. He hasn't snuck in. He's come according to scriptures pertaining to himself, one we just read in Isaiah 53. He's come according to the scriptures. He's come with the acknowledgement of God his Father, the Spirit coming upon him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He has come with all that legitimacy, right? So he enters the door. Now, he says, what happens when the shepherd goes into that communal sheepfold, he says that, so the doorkeeper opens, because recognizing him, he's a shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. Immediately, you know, he comes in, says hi, whatever, walking on. I know that voice. They recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Hey, Billy, hey, Josie, hey, whoever. And he leads them out. They follow his voice, and he leads them out of the sheepfold, out of that communal sheepfold unto himself. Okay? Now, why this teaching? Because what's happening here is that he's trying to convey the reality that in Israel, there's all these people who think they're God's children. They're the sons of Abraham. They're very religious, and they got their traditions. Just like that sheepfold, there's a whole bunch of religious lookalikes, you know, people that are, you know, saying, you know, we're the people of God. What he's saying is that he is separating out those that truly are his sheep. Okay? He, through his calling, is he separating out from among the religious, he's separating out those that are true disciples of his. Something that's very important here is that the Lord is doing the separation, not the sheep. Now, I underlined that in my notes, so I'm going to try to underline that audibly. The Lord, not us, is doing the separation. Because naturally, man in his pride wants to separate himself from others. Right now, we got a football game that's going on. We have two teams. One wants to separate themselves as the champs. See, where man in his pride always wants to distinguish himself from others, even Christians in their pride want to distinguish themselves from other Christians. Gary's been around for a while. I've seen it. You know, well, we're the people who have this doctrine, our pet doctrine. Want to stroke our pet doctrine over here? It's our pet doctrine. You know, we got a pet doctrine, or we're the Christians that have a certain format. This is the absolute right format of worship, and everybody, you know, and or we're the people who wear the funny hats or whatever. You know, that's not what's going on here. The sheep are not separating themselves from others. It is the shepherd through his calling that is making the distinction, okay? He's making the distinction. He's making that distinction by virtue of his knowing them, they know him, and he calls them and draws them out. He does the separation. Now, that separation is certainly beneficial for the sheep and a confirmation of the sheep, and it brings his sheep together, okay? but it's also for the benefit of those that are not his sheep, who think they are right with God. It's to their benefit to wake them up and to make that distinction and for them to see that, oh yeah, I'm not with those people that are genuine, okay? So how does this separation take place? Well, there's three things. One, he says about his sheep, he says, I know them and they know me. That's one way. Second thing is they know my voice and they follow my voice. And the third thing is they, in knowing the voice and following the voice, they are obeying and being gathered together by the shepherd, okay? So let's look at this first point. The Lord knows his own, John 10, 14, and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Wow, if that is not an amazing confirmation. An amazing confirmation. I know my own. You see, it's a connection of knowing with what he is his own. See? You've got an article of clothing that is your own. I know that. I can distinguish that. See? Because I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it, and it's my own. And there's that connection there. He knows his own. He's very familiar with his own. In fact, it says he knows his own to the point where he knows their name. And when he enters the sheepfold, he's not going, that kind of looks like mine. It isn't like that at all. He knows his even though they look like all like sheep, he knows them. And what? They know him as their shepherd. Is that the confidence that you have? Can you say, I know him? I know him. And he knows me. He has searched me. As David says, he's searched me. And he has known me. See? Acts, this is the result of redemption. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Now, in this section, Paul is giving instructions to elders, pastors, or shepherds of his people. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. He has purchased with his own blood. This ownership has come at great cost to God in purchasing with the precious blood of Christ. We have been redeemed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? It is a striking thing, isn't it? Man, I'm an American. I don't belong to anybody, just me, myself, and I. Well, I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. No, I'm not my own. I belong to him, paid for by the blood of Christ. I don't have my own rights. Gave that all up to him, see? Gave that all up to him. not only that, is now my body, I've become the temple of His Holy Spirit. Okay? I have this guest residing in me. And if the Holy Spirit is residing in me, then all of me, God wants to sanctify to be holy. Holy being all for Himself, set apart for Himself. That's what my life is to be about. Verse 20, for you have been bought, again, the idea of redemption, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which, again, belongs to the Lord. So it is a great security, a great thing to be able to say that He is mine and I am His. Second thing that sets these ones apart, these sheep apart, He sets, is the sheep know His voice and follow Him. John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. When He puts forth all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. And a voice and a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from Him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So the sheep aren't very smart. And from a standpoint of visual, somebody could disguise himself as a shepherd. But what they got going for them is they got that keen sense of hearing. And they discern, they know the shepherd's voice. And they're going to trust and follow that voice compared to what? A stranger's, which they don't know. When they hear His voice, they go, aha, yep, that's my shepherd. And they will follow His call. How that is today is, how do we hear His voice? How do we hear His voice? We hear it through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. We hear it, okay? And just like everybody here has a distinct, unique voice. You know, Eugene has a distinct voice, Chris does, you know, Mary does. Everybody has a distinct voice. See, and you know, you hear that voice, you go, oh, I know who that is. Same thing, there's a recognition as the Lord speaks to you. Now, I'm only imperfect man, but you have prayed and I have prayed, and we're trusting that through His word today, God is speaking to your heart, okay? To hopefully reassure you, to encourage you. Possibly, maybe you've got a little dull of hearing His voice and He wants to renew that in you, okay? But you know, I'm hearing His voice and I'm going to trust and follow that voice. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. Verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. As a learner, the Lord God has opened my ears, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. This is a reality that all God's people are to have. Not just, you know, preacher or a few. All God's people are to know His voice, to hear His call for themselves. Okay? Notice who's doing the awakening. It's the Lord. Who wants to speak It's the Lord. Who wants to direct? It's the Lord. The question is, when the Lord is trying to awaken, what is our response? See? Preachers can stand up here and bang on your head all day long and tell you what you ought to do. You ought to be preaching the gospel. You ought to be serving in the church. You ought to be doing this. You ought to be doing that. Da 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 da. What really is needed is this daily reality for each one of you out there to be connected with the Lord, hearing what He is calling you to do. See? Each one of you being in His Word each day. Because then it's not about, well, I'm just doing it because Pastor Ron told me I should do it. Rather, it's I'm doing it with the reality of knowing that God is calling me to do this. Great difference, great distinction. Okay. So the sheep, the true sheep, they know His voice. They've learned to trust in that voice, and they are following it. They live their life by Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. If you don't know this verse, it's a great one. Proverbs 3. Does that mean the other scriptures aren't great, Gary? No, they're great too. So we just, you know, be careful here. John chapter 3. I'm not saying John. Proverbs 3, verse 6. 5 and 6, sorry. 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, or He will direct your path. Is that how you are leading your life? Is that how you are making decisions? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you praying about it? Are you looking to hear His voice? Is that how you're leading your life? Because this is how God intends us to live our life, right? Not just for the big decisions, yes, for the big decisions, but also for daily living, being directed by Him. They trust, the sheep trust in His call and His leading. Back in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Doesn't mean that sheep sometimes are not disobedient and have problems with following. But in a general sense, this reality is true for all those that are His. They know Him. They know His voice, and they're obedient to that. Okay? Now, the third thing we want to talk about is how He gathers them together. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 16, and I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Okay? I believe what he's referring to is, I believe he's referring to the Gentiles. Those that will be brought out of the nations, okay? Not only those that are Jews, but those that are Gentiles, bringing them together. And there's many scriptures we could look at, is that God wants what? To bring together in unity as one flock, one shepherd. So this obeying, hearing and obeying His voice has a result of bringing us and drawing us together with others in fellowship. Notice what this is, the activity and the work of the shepherd is to gather his people together. What is the work of the wolf back in 12? In 12. 12. Bravo, verse 12. He is a hireling, not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So the activity of the wolf, the adversary of the sheep, is to devour, to catch them, destroy them, and to scatter the flock. The Lord's intention and desire is to gather and to bring together. Now, what I found in my Christian life is that as one is obedient to God's calling, it results in bringing together in fellowship. Disobedience has the opposite effect of dividing people apart. Okay? This is the unity and the desire that the Lord has for us. Fellowship is not easy. I've found that it's not easy. Different personalities, different things, you know, whatever. People step on you, you know, other sheep step on your feet, whatever, you know. Things sometimes get a little crowded together, whatever. And, you know, it's easy to get offended, you know, and I'm going to pack up and go somewhere else. So it's difficult. It's challenging. Understanding, though, this is what God wants. God wants unity. We're to endeavor to preserve the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. So we have to endeavor to do that. We have to kind of leave some of our preferences at the door. Just be, okay, praise God. This is what God is. I'm being obedient, and God's bringing us together to serve Him together and to worship Him together. He's the focal point, the Good Shepherd. He's the focal point. All right. So in summary, you know, we have today, you know, many people have brought up in the influence of the church. Many people have, you know, there's many people who would call themselves Christians. When I was a young man, I went to a traditional religious church. And if you would have asked me, I would say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But I did not have this reality that we're speaking of today. I did not know him. I did not know his voice. And I wasn't following him. There was a point of introduction for me. There was a point of receiving him, of bowing my heart and crying out to him. And so there was the beginning of that relationship. Maybe today, that might be a beginning for somebody. But in this reality, the Lord, through that life of reality that we're talking about, knowing him, hearing him, following him, he's bringing together those people that are truly his for his purpose and his glory. So I hope that is an encouragement to you. I hope that you can rejoice that you have such a shepherd, and day by day benefiting more and more for his tending and guidance in your life. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you love us so much to be shepherd over our lives. And your Son has loved us and given himself to die for us, to redeem our souls unto himself. So, Lord, we thank you for this consideration. I pray that it would result in an ever more deepening of our relationship daily with you. And we thank you in the name of your dear Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.